Chapter 7. Just as Valera and I left the ground, Laika and Alia grabbed onto my tail, and we flew over the city walls to hover above the Hazel Rose Guild. I dipped my tail just enough for the warrior women to slide down to the ground, and Laika immediately plunged her broadsword through one of the guild members with a battle cry. Then she yanked her blade back and looked around with an expression that dared one of the men to come at her. The idiots gasped as Alia landed on the ground next to the wolf, and the women faced off with the men on the ground while Valera and I attacked from above. I opened my maw and released a cascade of fire down onto the crowd. A few of them were engulfed in flames, while others yelled and ran away. Then one of them mumbled a few words, and a barrier shield formed over their heads. My flames hit the shield and diverted away from the guild members, so I craned my neck to try and find out which of the men had initiated the spell, but there were too many to pick him out. Valera blew her own fire down onto the shield to no avail, and she roared with frustration as her flames stopped at the barrier.
"I will burn whoever did this,"
she bellowed.
"A mage," I growled. "We need to figure out which one it is."
"And kill him,"
Valera snarled and bared her long canines.
"Indeed," I agreed with a nod.
I looked down on the guild, and I could see several of them had started to go after Laika and Alia in groups. The cowardly bastards couldn't even handle my women one-on-one. But I bared my teeth and sent a wave of earthquake magic across the ground. The land rumbled and shook as a crack formed outside the barrier spell and then spread underneath the men's feet. Within moments, the gash widened to separate most of the guild from the others, and only a few were within fighting distance of my warriors. Alia looked up at me and grinned before she reared back and drove her claws into the man who stood across from her. She pulled her claws back out, and 10 perfectly round holes began to pour blood into the ground before the man fell into a heap at the lioness's feet. Then I watched as Laika spun around and whipped her broadsword with lightning speed to slice through 2 men at once. Their bodies toppled to the ground as blood arched through the air, and the wolf demihuman leapt over them to attack another enemy. Since my women were holding their own, I focused again on finding the mage who had put up the shield. I wondered the best way for me to find him, and then the golden paths of the Sundex spirit's power seemed to light up on the ground below me. I scanned the paths for each of the guild members, and they seemed to jut out in every possible direction. Then I noticed one man didn't have any path options. He stood completely still, as though he was concentrating on a specific task, like powering a barrier spell. So I grinned and activated my earthquake magic again. But this time, I widened the crack even more and focused the shockwaves on the mage. The magic caused him to lose his balance, and he teetered back and forth as he tried to maintain the shield, which began to waver and flash. Then I sent one more shockwave, and the mage shouted in alarm as he toppled over into the wide crack in the ground. One of the other men reached out to grab him, but instead, the mage pulled him into the crack too. I could hear the fading sounds of their screams as they were swallowed up into the crevasse, and I bared my fangs in savage satisfaction. Then the shield disappeared, and Valera roared again as she and I flew closer to the men and released more flames onto the Hazel Rose Guild. By the time we rose up into the sky again, only half of the guild members remained. The rest were on fire or laid scattered across the ground with their bodies smoking from the flames of our magic. Roxon rushed from his position at the gate to the middle of the guild and stopped just shy of the crack I'd made in the ground.
"There is no need for this battle," he yelled as he shook his fist at us. "Just give up the eggs."
"You're a fool,"
Valera snarled before she bellowed another column of fire down at the guild leader. Roxon gasped and lifted his hands to create another barrier just before the flames engulfed his body.
"Ha!"
he pointed at us with a dramatic laugh.
"You'll never defeat the Hazel Rose Guild!"
On cue, several of the guild members lifted bows and arrows aimed directly for us. Then they pulled back the bowstrings and waited for Roxon's command.
"Doesn't a barrier spell work both ways?"
Valera raised a doubtful eyebrow. Before I could answer, dozens of arrows flew through the barrier and poked us in our underbellies.
"Guess not,"
I replied with a shrug. but their arrows aren't sharp enough for dragon skin.
Well, if we can't attack from up here, what do we do?
Valera growled and looked down onto the guild members. They continued to shoot their useless arrows, and the projectiles bounced off our skin and dropped back down into the barrier to land at their feet. When I realized the arrows could re-enter the barrier spell, though, it gave me an idea.
It looks like we need to attack from the inside, I observed. The barrier must be protecting them against magic, but if the arrows can go inside it, so can we.
Then what are we waiting for?
Valera grinned and dive-bombed into the crowd. Her giant red body glided right through the barriers, and she landed with a thud on top of a group of guild members. Their yelps and screams were quickly extinguished as she settled all the way onto the ground, and I chuckled as I watched my mate casually crush a man under her massive clawed foot. I wasn't about to let the Crimson Dragon have all the fun, though, so I followed her lead and plunged through the barrier. I dropped onto another group of guild members, and I could feel their bones crunch underneath my huge, scaly body as their bodies popped like squishy, red-filled balloons. My inner dragon grinned with satisfaction, and then I swung my tail around and sent more of their bodies flying. In my peripherals, I saw one of the guild members fly toward Lyca, but the wolf warrior skewered his body with her broadsword before I could warn her. Then she slid her blade back and tossed his limp body to the side. The wolf demihuman looked over at me with a devilish grin, and I was momentarily dazed by her olive skin glistening with sweat as she kicked ass. Her lithe figure moved like a badass dancer, and she effortlessly sliced and stabbed with her broadsword like a blood-splattered ballerina. I shook my head and focused on the battle. Only a handful of the men were left, and one of them was Roxanne. The guild leader turned to catch my stare from 20 yards away, and I locked eyes with him as I shifted into my human form. Then I used my swiftness, blazed through the last few guild members, and snatched Roxanne by the throat. I lifted him into the air, and he began to choke and claw at my hands.
"You weren't supposed to be here," he gasped as his nails dug into the skin on my hands,
and his face was rapidly turning red, then purple.
"Well, here I am. Besides, the Crimson Dragon would have kicked your ass on her own anyway. I just sped up the process."
"We were only prepared for one dragon," Roxanne argued.
"Not prepared enough," I snarled and tightened my grip. "Why did you come for the eggs?"
"We've heard the stories of two dragons in Hatra," he rasped after a moment. "The news has spread across all of Rama. Maybe even Anati. We all knew of the Crimson Dragon, but a male dragon means repopulation."
"And that's a problem?" I raised an eyebrow.
"Yes,"
he hissed, and the edges of his lips were turning blue from his lack of oxygen.
"It's too dangerous to repopulate the dragon species. Your kind has destroyed entire cities before. Once we heard you'd left with the princess, we came to get rid of the eggs."
"So you thought you'd just stroll right into my city and kill my child?" I roared in his face, and his hair blew back from my hot breath.
"We aren't the only ones,"
Roxanne insisted, and his eyes bulged out of his head as he struggled in my grasp like a fish on the line.
"I can tell you more. Just put me down, and I'll tell you everything I know."
"It doesn't matter who comes for the eggs. You're all signing up for a death wish."
Before the guild leader could argue, I snapped his neck like a twig and tossed his body to the ground. Then I turned back to see Valera, Lyca, and Aaliyah had finished off the last of the guild, and my dragon mate was charring the remains that scattered across the land. After they were finished, Valera shifted back into her human form with an angry scowl across her face. Then the three women walked over toward me, and we headed to the gates.
"Those stupid, no-good humans,"
my dragon mate spat out.
"I'll crush all their bones."
Her angry voice echoed around the walls of Hatra, and I reached over and grabbed her hand. "And I'll help you," I agreed, as the gate lifted for us to enter the city. "But I did find out a little bit of information before I killed Roxanne."
"What did he tell you?"
Aaliyah wondered as she licked droplets of blood off her wrists. Before I could answer, Aliona, Mariah, Naomi, Ruslan, Julia, and Moskal rushed forward to meet us as we re-entered the city.
"Is everyone all right?"
my adoptive father asked, as his eyes skipped over the four of us.
"Just fine,"
Lyca nodded, and the sun glinted off her gray hair speckled with crimson blood.
"Lord Evan was just about to tell us what he learned from the guild leader before his demise."
"Yeah, apparently, rumor has spread that Valera and I both live here," I said, as I faced my family and lovers. "They wanted to get rid of any eggs we'd made. So anyone who's worried about us making more dragons could be coming after us, too. That could even be why the other people attacked while we were gone. They thought they had a better chance of getting to the eggs when I wasn't here to help Valera." Valera scoffed and crossed her arms.
"Fools. Maybe since none of them have succeeded, they'll stop trying,"
Aliona suggested with a glimmer of hope in her violet eyes. "Well, maybe," I allowed, though I was not as hopeful as the princess. We walked the rest of the way back to the Lunar Palace in silence, but I knew Aliona's hope was unlikely, though I wished it wasn't. If any of the other groups had been trying to steal the eggs, too, then this was just one of many attempts to take them. Luckily, I knew Valera would die before she let anyone take either of the eggs, even if I wasn't here. Hell, she'd almost roasted me when I came close to ours the first time, and it was half mine. The gods only knew what she would do if anyone else came close to the egg vault. As soon as we arrived at the palace, Valera's ladies-in-waiting rushed outside.
"Lady Valera!"
Eleanor cried out.
"Are you all right?"
"We were so worried,"
Emily added with wide green eyes.
"Fine, fine,"
the crimson dragon grumbled.
"I just need to go clean up and check on the eggs. Wait!"
Naomi spoke up for the first time, and everyone turned to look at her shocked expression.
"You really do have dragon eggs here? What does it matter to you?"
Valera asked, and narrowed her amber eyes at the lizard, and a warning growl started to rumble in her chest. "She's just curious," I cut in. "Don't worry. We can trust her."
"I'll trust her when she trusts you,"
my dragon mate shot back before she turned up her nose and headed for the palace doors with her ladies-in-waiting hot on her trail.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
Naomi asked with a frown of concern. "Valera can be a little bit difficult to figure out," I replied. "I'll talk to her."
"We'll go get cleaned up before the big party,"
Aliona said, as she stood up on her tiptoes and gave me a kiss.
"I'll see you soon."
I grabbed her hips and pulled her close for a deeper kiss, and then I grinned before I jogged inside to follow Valera. The crimson dragon was already halfway up the stairs to her chambers, and I could hear her servants chirping to her about the party.
"We have some wonderful ideas for your celebration outfit,"
Emily squeaked.
"I don't care. Just let me bathe,"
Valera muttered.
"Ooh, we can draw you a hot bath,"
Eleanor suggested.
"Come on, Emily."
I dodged the two women as they scurried back downstairs to the bathroom, and I chuckled as I walked into Valera's room right behind her.
"I told you,"
she groaned as she whirled around to glare at me.
"They're everywhere I go."
"They seem nice, though," I snickered.
"I don't like nice,"
Valera sneered and rolled her golden eyes.
"Now, I'm going to check on the eggs. Are you coming?"
Before I could even respond, the crimson-haired dragon turned and stomped down the secret passageway into the egg vault. We passed through the spell that only allowed dragons inside, and then stepped into the room that held what could be the only two eggs of our kind. It was almost exactly like my dream, with red velvet covering the walls and a nest in one corner. Her treasure hoard was covered in more red velvet drapes in another corner, and I chuckled to myself since she'd hidden her stash even though she knew I was the only other person who could get in here. Valera opened two of the drawers in the gold-plated dresser to reveal each of the eggs. Her sister's egg was big and red, and it glimmered in the light of the torches on the walls. It hadn't hatched in nearly 300 years, but Aliona had found a book that said dragon eggs won't hatch until the baby feels safe. So we continued to wait. Our egg was a little smaller, but it was black, gold, and violet. It seemed to almost throb with energy as she opened the drawer, and I grinned as I wondered if little Junior would have my magical abilities. "Hey, Junior," I murmured as I leaned down closer to the egg and gently brushed the scaly surface with my fingertips. "I missed you, little buddy."
"His name is not Junior,"
Valera grumbled, but she smiled affectionately at our tiny creation. Well, not yet, I agreed, and nudged her gently.
Not ever.
My dragon mate snorted and pushed the drawer shut. Never say never, I grinned. On another note, I'm going to stash some things in here if that's all right with you.
Fine.
Valera muttered and waved her hand dismissively.
Just don't make a mess, and—
Don't touch the eggs or your hoard, I know, I chuckled.
Good,
she nodded, and then she turned and made her way toward the staircase. I snickered to myself as I used my stone powers to create a box for the celestial triad relics. Then I placed them inside and sealed the box completely. Once I was sure the relics were stashed safely, I followed Valera up the stairs, and I watched as her hips swayed back and forth with every step. I felt my blood rush south as I caught a glimpse under her dress and saw only her bare slit, and my cock throbbed in my pants. What was it with these women going commando all the time? I could barely handle my dragon instincts to mark my women every time I saw them, and knowing they had no panties on made it much more difficult. As soon as we made it into her room, Valera slipped out of her dress without a second thought, and my jaw dropped as I stared at her peach-shaped ass and long, slender legs before she walked over to her wardrobe and began to pick through various clothes. Oh, no fucking way, I growled at the thought of her putting anything back on, and then I stormed across the room and grabbed her waist.
Evan!
She growled and pushed my hands away.
I have to get ready.
You hate parties, remember? I wrapped my arms around her waist again, tossed her onto the bed, and climbed over her. I straddled her hips as I held her wrists down and kissed her hard. She pressed her lips closed as I tried to shove my tongue into her mouth, and I grinned as she turned her head away from me. So I trailed kisses across her jawline to her ear. Then I nibbled on her lobe before I traveled down her neck and dragged my tongue across her skin to her collarbone.
Stupid little dragon,
Valera snarled as she struggled against me. Little, I lifted myself up and raised an eyebrow. I think you know that's not true. Besides, how many times did you want it even after I'd already gotten you pregnant?
Hush,
she hissed. And she averted her golden eyes from my face as her cheeks flushed a delicate pink.
I didn't want it then, and I don't want it now.
Bullshit, I laughed. I can smell how wet you already are. Valera twisted her legs under me, but the strong scent of her desire had already filled the room. So I kept my hands on her wrists and let my mouth drift down to her breasts. Her tight pink nipples were hard, and the skin around them was dimpled with goosebumps as I dragged my tongue across her bare tit. Then I rolled her nipple between my teeth, and the dragon's back arched off the bed before she growled again and tried to lift her arms from the mattress.
You think you can just come back and have your way with me? You've been gone for months.
I have, and I know I can have my way with my mate. I smirked and then flicked her nipple with my tongue. I was trying to be nice, but if you want me to just have my way, I can do that instead. Before she could reply, I let go of her wrists, grabbed her hips, lifted her up, and flipped her over onto her belly. Her bare ass rubbed against the seam of my trousers, and my cock throbbed to be set free. So I held my forearm against her back as I yanked my pants off with my other hand. And even though my dragon mate tried to lift herself from the bed and thrashed her legs, her strength was no match for mine. Then I plunged my cock into her wet pussy, and Valera groaned against the bed. Her face was pressed into the blankets, and I shoved my dick inside her over and over as she flailed against me. I lifted her hips just enough to push deeper, and as I pounded into my dragon mate, her walls clenched around my arousal.
Oh, gods!
She moaned as her pussy poured her orgasm all over my dick. I thrust my hips back and forth as she came, and when the ripples of her orgasm nearly stopped, I pulled my cock out and flipped her back over. Then I shoved my rock-hard erection back into her sopping wet pussy. Just admit, you missed me, I growled as I pounded into her tight canal.
I'm not a liar,
Valera snarled and dug her claws into my shoulders. Then she gasped as I tugged on both her nipples and rubbed them between my fingers. "Oh, I know," I smirked as she moaned again. "Your pussy doesn't lie, either. It's practically begging for my seed."
"Oh, no, it's not,"
she argued and tried to pull my hands away from her breasts.
"My body has simply been lonely."
"You mean..." I leaned down and nibbled at her ear again. "You haven't touched yourself once while I was gone?" I sat back up and thrust my hips against hers again, and I could hear her breath coming in short bursts.
"No!"
Valera cried out before she moaned with pleasure as another orgasm crashed over her, and her body shuddered with the racking waves of her climax. The dragon's pussy squeezed my cock, and I felt my own climax surface as I groaned and dumped what felt like an ocean of my dragon seed into her waiting womb. Her thighs trembled against my hips as we both came, and pleasure rippled down my spine until my load had finally finished filling her body up.
"Are you happy now?"
Valera finally grumbled as she subsided onto the bed. "Nope. Not until you admit it." My dragon mate snarled at me again, so I grabbed her by the waist and pulled her off the bed. Then I pushed her face up against the cold stone wall and plowed into her again. She groaned as I thrust into her so hard she nearly banged her head on the wall. I pounded into the lady dragon over and over, and then her canal squeezed around my cock like a vice.
"Evan!"
She moaned, and her juices and my cum dripped down both of our thighs as she came for me again. Suddenly, I felt a presence in the room, and I glanced toward the open door to see Lady Naomi standing at the top of the stairs. Her robe was untied to reveal her slender body, and I could see her magenta scales continued down her neck and wrapped around her torso next to her round, perky tits. The lizard demihuman massaged her breast with one hand and thumbed her clit with the other. The sweet scent of her wet pussy drifted through the air, and I breathed it in while I drove my arousal into my dragon mate. Then Naomi realized I'd seen her, and she tried to close her robe quickly. "Come in, Naomi," I said with a grin. "There's plenty to go around."
"What?"
Valera gasped as she struggled against me, but a hard thrust into her quivering pussy shut her up. "I wasn't talking to you," I mumbled into the dragon's ear, and I slapped her ass for good measure before I turned back to the lizard demihuman. "What were you looking for, Naomi?"
I was just, exploring,"
she muttered after a moment. "I can see that," I smirked, and spun Valera around to face me. "What all would you like to explore? You have plenty of options." As I spoke, I grabbed Valera's thighs, wrapped them around my hips, and thrust into her again, and both women gasped.
Nothing,
Naomi stammered after she caught her breath, and even from this distance I could see her pupils were dilated with arousal.
"Sorry to interrupt. I'll see you at the party."
Then the lizard mage tied up her robe as she turned and darted back downstairs.
"What was that?"
Valera asked between gasps. "Just a work in progress," I chuckled and wrapped my hands underneath the dragon's ass. Naomi was right on the edge, and right now, so was Valera. I focused on my lady dragon again as I fucked her against the wall of her room, and she squeezed her legs around me and threw her head back as another orgasm tightened her pussy walls. "Oh, yes. Come for me. Squeeze my cock with that tight tunnel of yours. Oh, I love the way you clench me. Oh, my beautiful dragon mate."
"Oh, fuck. I can't stop it."
She moaned as her sweet juices poured out and dripped down between us. Her body shook, and her claws dug into my skin as she squeezed my body against hers to ride my cock through her orgasm. "Gods, Valera!" I groaned, and another hot load of my seed poured into her warm pussy. Wave after wave of my semen filled her core until it began to spill out, and it felt like lightning was racing through my veins and up my spine. Then Valera wrapped her arms around my neck and pulled me close enough to kiss me.
"If I say I didn't miss you, will you keep going?"
she murmured against my mouth. "You little devil," I teased as I let her slide back down to the ground. My cock was still rock hard, so I picked my mate up and carried her back to the bed. I tossed her onto the mattress, on her stomach, and pulled her hips up so her beautiful round ass was up in the air. Then I grabbed her waist, yanked her toward me, and slid my cock into her dripping tunnel.
"Oh, gods!"
Valera groaned as she threw her head back, and her scarlet hair cascaded down her creamy shoulders like a waterfall of blood.
"Please, Evan, I need it."
"Tell me you missed me," I demanded, as I pounded into her over and over.
"Oh, fill me with your seed a third time,"
she cried out, and clenched the blanket between her fingers as I thrust in and out of her. "Say it," I ordered, and slowly slid back, until only the tip of my dick remained inside her. Valera's body quivered underneath me, and I knew she wanted me back inside her.
"Fine. I missed you."
"Fuck yes, you did," I grunted as I plowed into her once more. Then I thrust my hips back and forth and watched her ass jiggle against me as I slid deeper into her tight pussy.
"Oh, Evan, I'm about to come."
"Yes," I hissed as I leaned forward, reached under her hips, and flicked her clit with my thumb. After a moment, I rubbed a tiny circle under her throbbing hood, and it sent her over the edge.
"Oh, gods!"
she screamed, and her climax shook her body like an earthquake.
"Give me another egg, Evan. I want to breed with you over and over again."
"Yes, I growled into her ear. "Give me another baby. Take all of my seed."
"Oh!"
Valera's body spasmed over and over until her thighs quivered, and I had to hold her up to keep thrusting into her until my own orgasm finally slammed into me like a freight train. I groaned as gallons of my dragon seed surged out of my cock and saturated every inch of her hungry womb, and shockwaves like electricity rippled through my body as I emptied every last drop inside her. Then Valera nearly collapsed onto the bed, and I lifted her onto the blanket before I flopped down next to her to take a breath. "I knew you missed me," I sighed.
"Shut up,"
she laughed, but she smiled when she turned to face me, and an elongated canine poked out of her mouth and into her plush bottom lip.
"You're a pain in my ass."
"You love me," I shot back. Before she could answer, we both sat up at the sound of giggles and footsteps coming up the stairs.
"Oh, gods,"
Valera groaned as she threw herself back onto the bed.
"Make them go away."
"But seeing you like this is so much fun," I snickered. And I jumped up and slipped my trousers on just as Eleanor and Emily scurried into the room.
"Oh!"
Eleanor gasped when she saw me standing shirtless, and her eyes dropped to the floor as her pale face flamed red.
"Lord Evan, I'm so sorry. We can come back later."
It's okay," I replied as I tugged my shirt over my head. "I was just leaving."
"No, you are not,"
Valera scowled as I leaned over and pecked her on the cheek, and she sat up and crossed her arms over her magnificent breasts with a pout.
"We were having a very important discussion."
"Don't worry about it. I already know the answer. Besides, you definitely need a bath now. You are drenched with our juices." The Crimson Dragon shot me another glare before I laughed and headed for the door.
"It's time to get you ready, m'lady,"
Emily chirped as she approached the bed.
"Yes, and it's not a surprise party,"
Eleanor said earnestly.
"We promise we'll give you every detail before we leave."
"I'm sure you will,"
Valera grumbled while she continued to pout on the bed. "Have fun," I called out, as I strode toward the stairs that led directly to my chambers. "I'll go get ready, too." I jogged down the steps into my room and out into the hallway toward the bathroom. Then I quickly rinsed off Valera's delicious pussy juices and rubbed a bar of soap over my body. as much as I loved marking my women and loved the way their pussies smelled on me. I didn't think it would be very diplomatic for me to show up to my party smelling like I just fucked one or many of them. I finished drying off and wrapped the towel around my waist before I headed to my room where Laika had just finished helping Aliona get dressed. The princess wore a long white dress that draped just over her tiny feet. Silver and violet buttons decorated the bodice that clung tightly to her curves, and her hair was twisted up into a fancy bun on the crown of her head, with a tiny tiara intertwined in her black and white hair. "Looks like I missed the party," I pouted.
"No, silly,"
the princess giggled as she looked up.
"It hasn't begun yet."
"I don't think he was referring to that party, m'lady,"
Laika chuckled, and both women's eyes traveled down to my arousal pressed against my towel.
"Oh!"
Aliona gasped, and shook her finger at me.
"Evan, you still have to get ready, or we'll be late to our own celebration."
"Ugh, you're right."
"I have to go get ready as well,"
Laika said as she walked to the door.
"I'll meet you downstairs shortly."
After the wolf warrior sashayed out the door, I trudged over to the wardrobe and pulled out a clean set of trousers and a tunic.
"My lord,"
Aliona murmured as she walked up behind me.
"May I make a suggestion?"
"Sure," I replied with a frown.
"How about these trousers?"
The princess held up a pair of deep purple pants and a fancy white shirt.
"And this tunic?"
"If you say so." I scrunched up my nose as I dropped my towel, took the clothes from her, and pulled them on. "Can I wear my regular boots?"
"Of course,"
she chirped. So I sat down on the edge of the bed and pulled on my boots before I stood up and spun around. "Good?" I asked, as I held my arms out to the princess.
"Perfect."
Aliona grinned and looped her arm through mine. I couldn't help but smile with her, and we walked out of her chambers and into the hallway. We met Ruslan and Julia in the great hall, and they were also dressed up for the party. The fox demi-human wore a dark green tunic that made his fiery red hair stand out, and my mother wore a long black dress with green accents to match my father. Julia's brown hair was braided back from her face, and her blue eyes lit up as we walked in. Then my parents stood up from the sitting chairs, and Julia gasped when she saw Aliona.
"Princess, you look beautiful." "Thank you, Julia,"
Aliona replied with a blush.
"As do you."
The two women murmured over their outfits as Ruslan pulled me off to the side, put his arm around my shoulders, and leaned in closely.
"Everything okay after the battle?" he asked under his breath.
"Yeah, nothing weird."
"Just making sure you didn't have a sudden lust for power," the fox said with a wink.
Our laughter was cut short when the rest of my women began to enter the great hall. They had all dressed up for the party, and I stared in awe at each of them. Laika wore a royal blue dress that hung to the floor with a pattern of embroidered flowers down each of the sleeves. The collar was cut low enough to reveal the upper half of her ripped abs and the swells of her breasts, and her bushy gray tail swayed back and forth behind her as she walked over to Aliona and stood next to the princess. Then Aaliyah came in behind the wolf, and the lioness wore a short gold dress that ended just below her ass and featured small cutouts on the sides that exposed her bronze skin. Her muscular thighs rippled with every step she took, and her long blonde hair cascaded down her back in tight curls. She looked over her shoulder at Mariah, who I'd never seen wear anything other than her transparent dress, and my jaw dropped even further. Tonight, the sword spirit had borrowed some clothes from Aliona, and the tight purple dress hugged her curves perfectly. The top looked like a corset, and it accentuated her hourglass figure, while the bottom puffed out like a ball gown. She smiled shyly at me and then stepped to the side to stand with Aaliyah. Next, Naomi strolled out into the great hall, and her long black dress wrapped around her like a glove. A glimpse of skin caught my attention, and I realized the dress had a long slit up to the top of her thigh that revealed her long, tan leg with each step she took. She had a crown of pale flowers around her head, and she tucked a wisp of her magenta hair behind her ear without meeting my gaze. Finally, Valera stormed down the hall with Eleanor and Emily right behind her. The crimson dragon's hair was piled on top of her head with a pattern of pins and buttons to hold it in place, and she wore a long red dress that clung tightly to her muscular body, except for big, puffy sleeves that billowed out like MC Hammer's pants. I cocked my head to the side as her servants repeatedly pulled on the sleeves to make them even puffier.
They look ridiculous,
Valera muttered to her ladies-in-waiting. You look nice, Valera, I consoled her.
This dress is horrid,
she grunted.
It's the latest in fashion, m'lady,
Eleanor assured her.
You will be the talk of the city.
I'd rather not,
the lady dragon shot back. Then she grabbed the puffy sleeves and ripped them clean off the dress.
Oh, I love her.
Aaliyah laughed while the other women gasped, and I chuckled as Eleanor and Emily paused for a moment to decide how to proceed.
We can fix that,
Emily offered, and pulled a small sewing kit from her dress pocket.
It is fixed now,
Valera smirked as she tossed the sleeves onto the marble floor, and then she shook her head. At least a dozen hairpins fell to the floor, and my dragon mate's hair tumbled out of its fancy updo. Her red waves fell down her back, and I grinned at the wild and free look. Now you look even better, I declared.
Thank you,
Valera huffed, but a small smile twitched at the corners of her mouth.
Now let's go party,
Aaliyah cheered. With that, my women linked arms with my mother, and Ruslan and I followed them out of the Lunar Palace toward my homecoming celebration.